Today we're going to talk about praying in five dimensions. Many of you feel like with the 40 days of prayer, you maybe have been pulled in many different directions with things going on. I mean, we committed to going through the Bible together, so even today we're reading through Numbers 14 and 15, and actually we talk about how because the children of Israel grumbled for 40 days, they actually had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. So just a little teaching point. Don't be grumbling while we're going through this. And then we're also doing this together, and we're reading our devotions and going through the process of learning about that. If you're being pulled in a lot of different directions, then you need a multidimensional way to pray. One-dimensional praying is boring. Two-dimensional praying is boring. One-dimensional praying is unbiblical. And one-dimensional prayer is ineffective. But first, in a couple of minutes, let me give you a couple of important truths. First of all, that God is a multidimensional God. The more you understand God, the better your prayers are going to be, the more effective they're going to be, the more fulfilled they'll be, and the more satisfying your prayer life will be. So how do we see this? We see this in a few ways. First of all, we see it in God's creation. There are dimensions that we know about, but there are some dimensions that we don't even know about. The Bible talks about the spiritual realm. We don't know about that. We don't see it. Many don't engage in it. But there's the evidence of design, and a design must have a designer. Some say the universe was created with the Big Bang. Well, that doesn't bother me, because whenever you've got a big bang, you got to have a big banger, and you got to have somebody that can pull the trigger. That's God. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen in what has been made, so men and women are without excuse. People say, well, what about all the people who have never read the Bible? How can they stand before a holy God and be held accountable? Well, true, they may have not read the Bible, but we can learn a lot about God by just looking at nature. If you don't have a Bible, for a lot of things, you can see, for instance, God likes variety. Look at nature. I had lunch with my 85-year-old neighbor on Friday before I left. We were talking about the weather, and I said to Dennis, isn't it amazing that in at least 3 months we'll be cutting grass? He said, it's a miracle. I said, absolutely it is. But we see God there. God is organized. It's obvious. We have laws that we live under, the law of gravity, other laws that are there. God's organized. It's also, God is creative. When you look at, just look at how your body is made. If you don't understand that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you don't understand the systems that are at place. It just marvels me. There's a morbid thing that I could describe to you that proves how our body is. Can I tell it to you? Now that I've baited you with it, I was either going to be a architect, a mortician, or a pastor. Let me talk to you about the second one. The interesting thing about that is, do you realize that your blood travels in one direction? Actually, because what I know is that they put two little things up here, and they force fluid in one side, and the blood comes out the other side, and they will embalm you. See, I told you it was morbid. But the reality is, the way our body is built, by God, that happens. There's so many other things that we can look at. And God likes diversity. Look at the way he's created men and women. We're all different. We know that God is powerful. Thunder and lightning and earthquakes. We know in the universe that God is creative and God is great and God is powerful. We've learned a lot about God just in nature. So the Bible says that we're without excuse. Job chapter 11, verses 7 to 9, Job and God are having a conversation, and Job's kind of complaining about what went on in his life. And God says, wait a minute, I'm the creator. I'm in charge here. And then he says, now, Job, let me ask you a few questions. Follow along. Job chapter 11, 7 and 9. Can you fathom the limits and bounds of the greatness and the power of God? What's the answer to that question?
No.
The sky is no limit for God, but it lies beyond your reach. God knows the world of the dead, but you do not know it. God's greatness is broader than the earth and wider than the skies. In other words, there's a whole realm, there's a whole dimension that you don't even know about, but God does. Secondly, we see it in Jesus' incarnation. You see, when God came to earth and became a human being, incarnation means God became flesh. The word became flesh. John 1, verse 14. The Word became a human being and lived among us. We saw his glory, and he was full of grace and truth. The fact that God can be God and that God can come to earth and be human means he's multidimensional. He didn't have a problem. Look at Hebrews 13:8. Dave shared this with you this morning. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know anybody like that? Are you going to be the same forever? Husband and wife, look at me. Don't look beside you. It's never going to happen. The problem is we're not the same that we were last week. We lost a few hairs. We gained a few wrinkles. Maybe a few other things. We're not the same, right? So what is he saying here? Jesus is neither bound nor by space nor time. Why? Because he is God and he is multidimensional. Revelation 1:4 says, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. That about includes everything, doesn't it? Multidimensional. That certainly isn't describing you. It's not like you were and you are and you will be. Jesus is multidimensional. God the Father is multidimensional. And then the third thing is that we see it in how the Holy Spirit moves. We see it in the whole Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 8 says, the wind blows wherever it pleases, especially on the prairies. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. That's the way it is with everyone born of the Holy Spirit. So what is he saying here? He's saying you can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. You can't control him. He's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where he's going. And you can hear the sound, and you can say the Holy Spirit moves in dimensions that we don't move in. Oh, I wish I had spiritual dimensions, eyes to see what's going on in this world. Job chapter 9, he's talking about the Spirit. Look what he says. He does wonders that cannot be understood. He does so many miracles that cannot be counted. When he passes me, I can't see him. And when he goes by me, I don't recognize him. Three things that we see about God being multidimensional. And secondly, because God is multidimensional, listen to this, I am never alone. I am never, never, ever alone. Because he's in every dimension at the same time. He's in the past. He's in the present. He's in the future. He's here. He's there. He's in heaven. He's on earth. He's in the spirit world. He's in your world. He's in my world. God is in every dimension all the time. He is with you. He's above you. He's around you. He's multidimensional. Psalm 139, one of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms. Look what it says, verses 7 to 12. Where can I go to escape from you? Where could I ever get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you'd be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you'd be there. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You'd be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, but even darkness is not darkness to you, for the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are not the same to you. What's he saying in these verses? You can't hide from God. Now that's very interesting for us to think about as we walk through moments of the day, that we're always under his eye, that he's always with us. But what great comfort to you and to me that regardless of the space that I'm in, regardless of the circumstances that I'm in, regardless of the circumstances we are in our church looking for a new lead pastor, God is with us. Amen? Isn't that encouraging? So here's a tip. Don't ever try to play hide and seek with God. You're going to lose. Never try to play hide and seek with God, because every place you try to hide, he's already there. We're talking about the omnipresence of God. He's everywhere. He's in all things. He's beginning and the end. He's yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And since God is a multidimensional and everywhere God, you can talk to him about every dimension of your life. Now, what does that have to do with prayer? Well, it actually has a lot to do with prayer, friends. Because what it means is, since God is everywhere and he's in the past and he is in the present and he's in the future, that he's in every dimension of the world and even the dimensions you don't even know about. Because he's everywhere and he's in every dimension, you can talk to him about every dimension of your life and he already understands it. I'm going to take you to a different level today. I'm going to talk to you about five dimensions of your life that you can pray about. You ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you awake? Turn back and say, I sure hope so. Keep me awake too. Number one, the first dimension is, I look backwards to the cross. When I was studying for this message, one of the insights I discovered was that I could be starting my prayers not with problems today or my fears about tomorrow, but I should start with what I'm grateful for that's happened in the past. See, hindsight is always 20/20. Why is that? Why should I do that? Why should I look back first to the cross? Because it's a good place to start. Because it fills you and it fills me with gratitude. You see, the cross reminds me of three things. I don't know if you have room in your notes, but there's three things that looking backwards helps me when I look at the cross. The first thing is, I look at it and it says that just how deeply God loves me. That he would die for me. And when I look at the cross, I also think about how costly evil is and sin. Because if it wasn't costly, Jesus wouldn't have to die in my place. And the third thing is, when I look at the cross, I look at how completely forgiven I am in him. The more I work with people, both in business and in ministry, the more I realize that we tend to default to ingratitude. And that makes us entitled, that makes us bitter, that makes us unhappy. But when we start with gratitude, look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 18 and 19. God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Do you want to know how much something is worth? It's whatever anybody's willing to pay for it. So how much are you worth? Look at the cross. God sent his own son. He came to earth to die for you and for me. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that sons of men and women could be sons and women of God. He did what we could not do for ourselves. We couldn't pay for all the things that we've done wrong. You couldn't do it, and I couldn't do it. He said, I love him, and I'll do it. That shows how much you're worth. God looks at you and says, I love you so much that I'd go to the cross for you, and for you, for me. He gave his own son to die for you and to die for me. When I pray, the first thing I need to do is I think about how much God loves me and how much I'm forgiven. You see, right now, all of your sins are in the past. But think about this. But so is the cross. Jesus already paid for tomorrow's sins. Second way we need to pray is I need to look upward into my Father's loving face. I turn from the past backwards and I start looking upwards to my Heavenly Father's face. I focus on the fact that God wants me to see him as my Father. In fact, Jesus, when he taught his disciples how to pray, he started with our Father. Why? It's the term God wants to be called. You see, well, my father wasn't a good father. Well, God isn't your father. And your father isn't your God. God is a perfect father. He's caring. He's close to you. He's considerate. He's consistent. He's capable. If you make this one change, it will change how you pray. When you call someone, it sets the tone. You're not trying to convince God to be a loan officer or making a deposit with an attorney. You're not talking about taking a lie detector with the RCMP. It's your Father who loves you. It's Abba in Israel. I remember being in Israel and being in a Shabbat, during Shabbat, being with Jewish people, and all I heard were these little babies calling their dads Abba, and I just giggled. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8. You should not act like cowering, fearful slaves, but since God's Spirit has adopted you as children into God's family, instead by his Spirit, we simply cry out, Abba, Father. And God's Spirit affirms that we are really his children, and since we are now God's children, we're also heirs with Christ, and we will share in both his suffering and in his glory. That's a passage of scripture to memorize, folks. It's got life-changing truth in it. What you think God is like determines how you pray. If you think that God is an uninterested creator, an unpleasant and unpleasable deity, an untouchable stranger, then that's exactly how you're going to bring him into your prayer life. It's easy to tell what people think of God. I just listen to them pray. For many, God is a taskmaster, like an Oliver Twist. Please, sir, may I have some more? God wants my prayers to be several things. First of all, personal. Abba means daddy. It's a baby term. It's the most intimate. It's childlike. It's unpretentious. It's honest. It's unassuming. It's unworried about making good impressions. Again, when you settle this fact, it will change the way that you pray. You see, all misunderstandings about prayer is really an misunderstanding about who God is. So here's your homework for this week. Start every prayer this week with, "Daddy. Daddy, I don't feel comfortable today going into this meeting. Daddy, I'm nervous about writing this test. Daddy, I'm not sure how I'm going to take the next step. Put Daddy and then your problem, because he wants you to personally address him like that. Secondly, he wants you to be passionate. He wants you to cry out. Children cry out and they don't care where or who is listening. Ever been shopping? Put some feelings into your prayers. I've got to have this. Lord, I need this. I heard something this past week that said, if your goals and your dreams and what you're trying to accomplish of God doesn't involve a miracle happening, then you're not praying big enough things. When you come, it needs to be personal, but it also needs to be passionate. Have you ever gotten emotional with God? God loves it when you share your emotions. Why? Because God is an emotional God. The only reason you have emotions is that God created you, listen, in his image. God shares emotions. The Bible says God gets angry, God gets frustrated, God gets jealous, God loves, God gets impatient. So why do you do it? It's because you're made in his image. There ought to be some things in life that make you mad. There ought to be some things in life that frustrate you, and cry out to God. But put those feelings into prayer. Get a journal. Write in this book, this journal that we have. One third of the Psalms are David and other authors getting emotional with God. Even in our reading today in Numbers chapter 14, God was saying, like, I don't even want to be with these people anymore. I'm just going to kill them all. And Moses said, oh, let me just step in here. Put your feelings in your prayer. Thirdly, you need a partnership. By my Spirit. You're not praying alone. Did you know that when you pray, the Holy Spirit prays with you? Look at Romans 8. 26. Also, the Holy Spirit helps us with our weaknesses. We often do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself speaks to God for us, even begs God on our behalf with deep groanings and feelings that words cannot express. You see, right now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? He is interceding for us. He is standing in the gap for us. He's our partner. Note that your loving Father understands. You often don't know how to pray. But God, I'm just showing up. I don't even have to put words. I don't have the ability to put into words what I'm thinking or feeling. But you do. Would you interpret them to the Father? How often have you had a hard time expressing yourself? God joins in with you, and he talks to himself when you talk to him. Jesus talks to the Father. God joins in with you, and he talks to himself. Ever carry on a conversation with yourself while someone's talking to you? Oh, you do it all the time. The Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father talk together all the time about you. It's just like, as a dad, when my grandkids came over, especially when they were young, and there's a newborn that's just been brought out this morning, celebrated, which is awesome. That there's not a whole lot of communication there. You just hold them. You just pray for them. Just thank God for them. You need to see that God wants you to partner with him. The third thing, dimension that we need to do is we need to look inward to Jesus living inside me. Do you know that Jesus is in you? When you become a Christian, when you cross and step across that line, he puts his spirit in you. Jesus is in you. Remember, Jesus isn't just in heaven. He's as close as you. Remember, God is a Trinity. The Trinity is in you. Write all three in me on your notes. That's personal. Then, since I know I'm unconditionally accepted by my Father, and he gives me the freedom and courage to honestly face my faults, then there are some attitudes, bad attitudes that I have. There's some secret sins. There's some compulsions that I have, some fears that I have. There are some hurtful memories that I have. There are some resentful thoughts that I have. There's some unforgiveness that's there. Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, examine yourself to see if your faith is real and growing. Test yourself. Remember that Jesus is living in you unless you have failed the test. Would anyone here like to be better than you are? The fact is, I can't get better until I face, until you face what needs to be changed. Proverbs 28:13 says, if you try to hide your sins, you will never succeed. But if you humbly confess and reject them, you'll receive mercy. Or in the Living Bible, it says you get another chance. Here's the secret. God already knows what you need to work on. But when you start being honest with God, it takes you into a whole new level of intimacy with him. Everyone wants intimacy in relationships, but they don't want to do the honesty that's required. You must be willing to open up. You invite God into whatever you think are your secret areas. And you can spell intimacy like this, into me, see. Where do I start? Galatians chapter 5. Use the 9 fruit of the Spirit as a checklist. And pray, Jesus, produce the fruit in me. I look backward to the cross. I look upward to the Father's face. I look inward to me. Fourthly, I look out around and ask the Holy Spirit to use me. Instead of criticizing, instead of complaining, instead of judging, instead of whining, instead of blogging, offer yourself as a solution. Use me. Look at what Romans 6:13 says. Give yourself completely to God, every part of you, since you've been given a new life and you want to be used as a tool in the hands of God, used for his good purposes. God, use me in the way you want to use me. Use me any way that you want to use me. You see, the world is waiting for your contribution. They need your help. Look at the fifth dimension here. Finally, I look forward in faith into the future. Now you talk to your Father about the day ahead of you. Father, what should I prioritize on my list? What decision should I make? Who should I contact that I can help out? What should I say at a meeting? You think about it as putting your life on the altar. Whenever I go into a situation, meeting with somebody that's very important, I'll say, Lord, I'm putting my life on the altar. I want you to use me. I want you to make me aware of what you want me to be aware of so that I can be used by you. The more you get into this book, the more confident you will be. You see, ultimately, as God's child, your Father guarantees that you'll win. Look at Philippians 1:6, I am confident of this, that God who has began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's what I know, friends. God doesn't sponsor flops. How confident are you? Let's keep learning about God as we continue in the 40 days of prayer. Will you pray with me? What's God saying to you right now? What's the area in your life where you need just to bring your personal, passionate partnership prayers with God about? Father, I'm so thankful that you are a multidimensional God. You are everywhere. So we can't be alone. Even when we're without a person beside us, you're there. Thank you that you're all-knowing, that you know everything about my past, my present, and my future. Thank you that you are all-powerful, that you are at work in our lives in ways that we will never see until we meet you in glory. And when I look back at the cross, I'm filled with gratitude for loving me to the place where you would give up your life for my sin. And when I look up to the Father, you desire me to be intimate with you about my concerns and my desires, my confusion. Thank you that I can bring my request to you with passion and truthfulness. And you will not remove me from your loving lap. And when I look inward, I see traces of Jesus inviting and living in me. Your love compels me to confess my sins to you. Your love constrains me to desire to walk in such a way that I will bear the fruit of the Spirit every day. And when I look around, I'm partnered with the Holy Spirit to help bring change in this broken world. Father, I want the Holy Spirit to use me for your purposes. Use me, Father. And when I look forward, I'm able to have faith that you will help me see what you are working and where you're working and join you in surrendering to you while you finish the work that you've started in me, in our circle groups, in our ministries, and in this church. Continue to help us to learn more about you, Father, so that we'll be unhindered in our prayers to you. In Jesus' name, amen.